بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء كرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, each and every insan, each and every human being during the course of his or her life in this world is faced with a variety of different challenges, different difficulties, trials and tribulations. And each and every person finds his or herself in a different condition, different situation from the next person. Somewhere there is somebody who is enjoying a great deal of prosperity, business is booming, financially he is living life to its fullest. But on the other end of the spectrum, there is somebody who is suffering from abject poverty, barely able to put food on the table, barely able to provide, leave alone for his family, but for himself. Somewhere there is somebody who is enjoying a good, clean bill of health. As far as his energy levels are concerned, as far as his health is concerned, he is enjoying his life. But on the other end of the spectrum, there is that person who is suffering from illness after illness, in and out of hospital, at times barely able to lift his head from the hospital bed. Somewhere there is somebody who is enjoying a mutually loving and caring relationship with his spouse. He has obedient and healthy children. And on the other end of the spectrum, there is that person who is facing a very nasty and irreconcilable divorce. But despite all these differences and varieties in the challenges and difficulties that people face in the life of this world, there is one constant, one bounty, one blessing of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that He has given to each and every person. No discrimination, no favoritism, no partiality. Regardless of race, regardless of age, regardless of background. And this is that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has given each person one chance, one opportunity in the life of this world. Although there may be a variance in the age that a person will live to, and there may be differences as far as the length of his life is concerned, but in comparison to the journey of the soul, these differences are very small. In reality, no matter how long a person lives in the life of this world, it is regarded as but a few fleeting moments. The ruh and the soul has come on a very lengthy journey. Beginning in alamul arwah, the realm of the souls, how long ago that was, I do not know, you do not know. And when the soul will depart and leave the body and leave this world, then it faces a very lengthy journey onward as well. First will come the grave, the questions of the grave, the realm of barzakh culminating on the day of Qiyamah. And then there will be eternal life either in the gardens of paradise or in the dens of Jahannam. But Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has created within these two lengthy journeys a short period of time. And that is known as the life of this world, perhaps what can best be described as a short pit stop breaking in half a very lengthy journey. Yet despite the fleeting nature of the life of this world, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has created a very significant and great purpose and objective in the life of this world. What is the maqsad? What is the objective? What is the purpose? What is the goal of the life of this world? Quran does not mince its words. Allah states very categorically, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn, I have not created mankind except for one goal, one purpose, that they reach the heights not of prosperity, not of good health, not of technological advancements, although that goes with it. But I have created them with one primary goal and purpose, that they reach the heights of my servitude and slavery. That every insan, regardless of his or her background, will understand that first and foremost, I am the slave of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Ulama say, how many an elderly person The goal and the purpose of our lives has not even crossed our minds as yet. Perhaps that person who has some sort of a relationship with deen, the thought and the aspiration has crossed his mind that I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I want to become the friend of Allah. And while these are very lofty objectives and goals, no doubt, but when it comes to friendship in this world, friendship is temporary. Ask those two high school students who are as thick as thieves. In Arabic we say, lazim malzum, wherever one was, the other was. Not a day would go by without them sharing their school lunch together, not a night would pass without them communicating with each other. But as the years dragged on and they moved in their separate directions in life, what is the status of that relationship? So friendship is temporary. Pleasing somebody in this world is also temporary. The husband buys a bouquet of flowers for his wife in the morning. By the nightfall, he has already done 5 things to anger and upset her. Pleasing somebody is also temporary. But the relationship of servitude and bondage before Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is permanent. In every other relationship in this world, there is room for discussion. There is room for consultation. There is room for suggestions. The husband will consult with his wife with regard to the upbringing of their children. The wife will consult with the husband with regard to the running of the home. The principal of an institute will consult with his staff regarding the best practices for that institute. The employer will consult his employees, how do we make our business profitable? But the relationship between a master and his slave, as the relationship should be between Allah Rabbul Izzah and you and I, is a relationship that has no room for consultation, no room for discussion. Wherever the master will keep his slave, the slave will be. Where he will leave him to sleep, that's where he will sleep. What he will give him to eat, that's what he will eat. The clothes he gives him to wear, that's what he will wear. This is the maqam and the position that Allah has created as a goal and objective in the life of this world. And that is why perhaps the greatest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his 23 years of nubuwa is the incident of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Palestine and thereafter into the heavens till Sidratul Muntaha, when Allah describes this miraculous incident and undoubtedly praises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the opening verses of the 15th juz of Quran, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Allah did not say, glory be to that being who took his messenger, glory be to that being who took his rasul, glory be to that being who took the best of his creation. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi, glory be to that being who took his slave. Spelling out a message till the day of Qiyamah for the Ummah to come, that the highest position that a person can achieve in this worldly life is what ulama term as maqam-e abdiyat, the position and the status of servitude before Allah. And this is a sabak, a lesson, my respected brothers and elders, that myself as well as all of us need to revisit and remind ourselves, especially in today's time, when the threat is not merely against the a'mal and the actions of the believers, but the threat is now the i'tiqad and the belief of the believers. What do I believe in? What do I stand for? Who do I follow? What is my direction in the life of this world? Perhaps I wake up in the morning and I come to the masjid, I'm in the first saf for salah. I don't miss a salah in the masjid. I discharge my zakat on time. I have been multiple times for hajj and umrah. But what is the true goal and the purpose of the life of this world? Have I regarded myself as a true slave of Allah? Or is there still room for interpretation? Is there still room for my suggestion, my opinion, my wants and my likes? When I am faced with the command of Allah, do I approach it as though this is absolutely necessary upon me? Or do I look for every trick in the book to get out of fulfilling the command of Allah? Each person is weak. Allah has khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa. And each person's weakness varies as far as its status is concerned. But as long as a person understands and recognizes that I am the slave of Allah, then that weakness can be tolerated and overlooked and he can be forgiven. But the moment a person thinks to himself that I have a say in my life, I can decide how I run my life, I can decide where the avenues in which I spend my wealth, then he is already on the path to failure and destruction. This goal, this purpose, this objective that Allah has created, respected brothers and elders, despite the life of this world being very short, the objective is very great and lofty. And on the surface it seems that this is improbable, if not impossible. How does a person achieve the heights of abdiyat, of servitude, of slavery before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is not unfair. Allah is very just. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. And therefore Allah in His infinite mercy, kindness and grace has created a syllabus for you and I to follow. The promise is if you will follow the syllabus and you will leave this world, then your life will be counted as a successful life. Your objective will be regarded as being fulfilled. But if you will leave this world and you had not treaded on the path of that syllabus, you did not bring the spirit of that syllabus within your life, then regardless of your worldly achievements or your status amongst people, regardless of the millions that you left behind in inheritance, the life of yours will be regarded as a life of failure. And what is the syllabus that Allah has created for you and I in the life of this world? The promise is you will follow this way, then you will reach the heights of abdiyat. Again, Quran does not mince its words. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. Verse after verse after verse, Quran is sounding out a message loud and clear that all the children of Adam, if you wish to achieve success in your worldly life and you want to leave this world having fulfilled the objective that Allah has created you for, then there is only one way, one method, one syllabus that you can follow. And that is the way and the life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other way. In recent times we have been exposed to and we have heard, and perhaps this has been continuing for a while, we will see a news clipping or we will see some article, somebody in some country has made a cartoon insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody has spoken against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody has insulted and ridiculed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In reality, respected brothers and elders, we never asked for their respect. And we did not expect them to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the beginning, they were the open and sworn enemies of Allah and His Rasul. But what is more concerning and more worrying is that you and I, who claim to follow and love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not understood his maqam and position. Today a person takes it as a source of great pride that I know the history of the politician or the president of certain country. I know how he rose through the ranks and the challenges and adversities that he had to overcome. And now that he is in the position of leadership, what has he achieved? Look at what a change he has made in the world. When a person is in a particular field of business, he prides himself on being knowledgeable in that field. He understands everything about the history of that field. When there is a leader amongst any community, the people pride themselves on knowing details about the history of that leader. But ask ourselves, my respected brothers and elders, do we really know the extent of the work that was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For us to get a glimpse, a small picture of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam achieved. And this is the syllabus Allah has given us. So if we are not convinced, how will we follow the syllabus? Ulama take us back more than 1400 years to a period of time which was known as Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. And to understand the picture of humanity during the period of ignorance, historians write that humanity had reached its lowest ebb and there was no place for them to sink further. The condition at the time was such that women's rights were non-existent. A person would leave this world, he would pass away, and his grieving widow, rather than being given space to grieve and being taken care of and looked after by her family members, she would become mirath, inheritance. At times, a mother would end up as the property and possession of her son. At times she would be married off to her father or to her brother. Woman's rights were non-existent. The rights of children were non-existent. The rights of spouses were non-existent. Fights and quarrels were common. A person's animal would graze in the farm of the neighbor and this would spark a feud. That feud would last for decades. Their grandchildren would be fighting with one another because your grandfather's cow ate from the grass of my grandfather's field. Ulama sum it up. Humanity was in a cart and this cart was proceeding downhill. The brakes on that cart had failed a long time ago. But the inhabitants of that cart were not worried about pressing brakes. Those in the front row were concerned about securing their position. Those in the rear were fighting to get a better position. And it was just a matter of time before this cart would come crashing to its destruction and death. When it seemed as though it was just one command from Allah, humanity would be wiped out from the surface of this earth. At that point in time, Allah's mercy comes to the fore. Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahida, wa mubashira, wa nadira, wa da'iyan ilallahi bi idnihi, wa sirajan munira. The greatest of Allah's creation is sent into this world. Against such a backdrop, a society that was not functioning, morals and values that had been lost completely, and in a period of 23 years, ask that person who is 50 or 60 years old how quickly the past 20 years went by. He can barely remember what he did. In a period of 23 years, how did he transform society? That now not only did he arrest the slide of that cart, but he turned it in the opposite direction. Now humanity was on the upturn. Now morals knew its place in society once again. Values were upheld. Trusts were fulfilled. There was truthfulness once again. There was peace and sanity prevailing in the world. If this does not convince us regarding the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is nothing else that will convince us. Allah's system has been and always will be that He will reserve the best for the best. In this world, that person who takes part in a competition and he comes out first, the gold medal is reserved for him. Even if the one in second position is close, he doesn't get the gold medal. Throughout the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave him a gold medal. When it came to his name, Allah chose the best name for him. فَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ. Derived from the same root letters as Allah's quality of Mahmood, praiseworthy, the name Muhammad was derived. When it came to his city, Allah gave him the best. إِنَّ هَذِهِ طَيْبَ أَسْكَنَنِيهَا رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Nabi alayhi salam is returning from a journey. He sees the mountains of Medina Munawwara in front of him. His heart swells with pride. He says to the Sahaba, here is the pure and wholesome city of Medina Munawwara. أَسْكَنَنِيهَا رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ. My residing here is not by chance. Allah chose it for me. يَنْفِي الْخَبَثْ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ. When a person takes a rusty piece of steel and puts it into the furnace, the fire burns away the rust. Only the pure steel remains. The city of Medina Munawwara will have the same effect on the hearts of the inhabitants of that city. And when it came to the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then undoubtedly there also Allah gave him the best. To break the foundation of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to break the foundation of our deen. Nabi alayhi salam mentions very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. Prior to creating insan, Allah looked into the hearts of mankind. All those from Adam alayhi salam till the last human who will come into this world. Allah found the most pure and clean heart and He chose that to be the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. Then Allah once again looked into the hearts of insan, of humanity. He found the most pure and clean hearts, the most loyal hearts, and He chose those for the hearts of the companions, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. In every aspect and facet of His life, Allah gave His Nabi only the best. And Allah has created the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as our syllabus. That if you wish to fulfill your objective and your purpose in the life of this world, then you will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then you will reach true servitude. And together with creating the syllabus, Allah has also created asbab and means. that if you will utilize these asbab, they will aid you to become my true and loyal slave. What is the sabab? What is the means? That which was used by Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that which will continue to be used till the day of Qiyamah, is Salah. When it comes to Salah, understand, what is Allah asking of us? If a person stands on the road and he insults you and swears at you, then perhaps you will be able to tolerate this. But let him spit on your face and then see how angry you become. How dare you insult me and disrespect me in this way? Because the face, ulama explain, is the most honorable limb of the body. Nobody will tolerate somebody showing disrespect to him. Yet Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is saying, take that most honorable, that most beloved limb of yours and place it down on the ground. Place it down on the ground, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and now declare how great I am. Glory be to my Rabb, the most high. I have reached the lowest of low. Allah is the highest of high. Then Allah says, come up, Allahu Akbar, I am not done with you. Go back down once again. So that no rakat in any salah, fard salah, nafil salah, sunnat salah, will be complete without two sajda. Come back down and declare, put that most honorable and noble limb of yours on the ground before me. That will create servitude and slavery in your heart for me. This is the true goal, my respected brothers and elders. This is the objective, the maqsad, the purpose of the life of this world. If we have not yet understood it, the time is now for us to realize, what does Allah want from me? Regardless of my age, regardless of my background, regardless of my race, regardless of my financial status, regardless of all the achievements that I have made in this world. But if I have not regarded myself to be a loyal and obedient slave of Allah, and this must be imbibed deep within our, embedded within our hearts, and every limb of our body, before I speak, what does my master want? Before I act, what does my master want? Before I think, how does my master want me to think? This is the relationship that Allah is looking for. And this will not be for nothing. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will then create honor for a person, as long as he will humble himself in the life of this world. I will end with this one verse of poetry in the Arabic language. Abu al-Atahiyya rahimahullah has mentioned it. And something for us to take note of, each and every one of us has read about the gardens of Jannah. We read about the bounties of paradise. And we heard that one of the first bounties will be the removal of worries and grief. And every single person, regardless of who he is or what he is, his life is full of grief and worry. Even the wealthiest person in the town, his life is also full of worry and grief. So we aspire to reach those gardens of paradise. Abu al-Atahiyya says, tarjun najata wa lam tasluk masalikaha, inna as-safinata la tajri 'ala al-yabasi. You claim to desire salvation. You want to reach your destination and your goal. وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ مَسَالِكَهَا, but you are not treading the path of success. And then he cautions and warns, إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. Remember, a ship can never sail on dry land. If we want to fulfill our objective, our purpose in the life of this world, and we want to earn the ultimate, the highest stages of Jannah and the pleasure of Allah, then we will have to submit to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to make his day our day, his night our night. Then only will Allah regard our life as successful and that we have passed our test in this world. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.